everyone, and welcome back to Woman's Splain. Today we're gonna have a little bit of a different episode. As you notice, I don't have my lovely partner Solo with me today. Instead, I'm going to be trying something a little new, in which I do a few solo episodes here and there discussing specific finance, education, venture capital topics from more of an educational perspective. So I can sort of just get my listeners more engaged and hopefully they can learn something specific about the industry that can be confusing or niche. But also, please feel free to give me feedback. Please email us, womansplainpod1@gmail.com, if you feel like, you know, I'm maybe just droning on. But would love to... Yeah.
I'm just going
to,
because we'll edit anyways.
Yeah.
Give background, and once again, on like who you are, what you do.
Yeah.
That'll be super helpful.
Yes. And just to give, I don't know if I've even, but just to give a little background on me, I graduated from Penn in 2017. I was in Wharton. From there, I spent the last 8 years in finance in New York, spent 2 years in investment banking at a bulge bracket firm, spent 5 years in private equity, 3 at basically a late stage growth fund, and 2 at a kind of small buyout growth fund as well, which I will also explain. Focused mostly on the tech sector, but also have touched healthcare and consumer as well, just to give you some background. So I've spent 8 years in this finance realm, and now I'm also a little bit more focused on the operating side. And so from my perspective, obviously the industry can seem very confusing and it can seem honestly very intimidating, even though the concepts itself are very basic, but they are sometimes really difficult to Google and comprehend because I feel like the information out there is actually just not that helpful. And unless you've been in and around the industry to kind of understand just like niche stuff, it can be really intimidating. And that's actually something that investors use as a tool kind of against the people they invest in a lot. A lot of times founders specifically can be really like taken advantage of because of just like the lack of information if they don't have the right advisors around them. And so I'm hoping that if I, you know, share my experience a little bit, I can arm you guys with just, I don't know, a little bit more strength and a little more information. And so if you ever, you know, want to go into the finance industry or you're looking for an investor or looking for an advisor, you're not completely clueless. So today I'm going to start with just kind of how to have a successful fundraising round if you are a founder. And obviously there's a million ways I can take it. From my perspective today, I was going to focus on how to kind of find the right fund for you and what that means. And to just really kind of take it from number one, you know, A of the alphabet. Fundraising is basically when a founder is looking for money from investors to effectively grow their business. The investors will write a check in exchange for a percentage of ownership in the company, in expectation that that company will grow, become bigger and better, and then sell that part of the ownership, go public, completely be bought out, and that money effectively returns on itself. So that's the general goal. In general, a lot of companies don't make a profit. So basically means they are putting money in and not getting money out for a while. It takes usually a long time, depending on how fast the company grows. And they need effectively outside capital to function. So they need to pay people. They need to, you know, get an office. They need to invest in the product. They need to function. And the company itself is not making money in order to basically fund itself yet. So that's sort of the general need for an investor. And that's where it starts. Companies can be looking for a lot of different types of fundraising. And most of the time, most companies go through multiple rounds of fundraising throughout their life cycle. Just to kind of give a total idea of the landscape, there's kind of 3 main buckets of like private fundraising. One is called venture capital, which is basically early stage companies. It can either go like literally anything from pre-seed, which means the company has no revenue. They have not really begun functioning. They basically have an idea and a deck and they're going to become something, to what they call kind of Series A, or a company that is usually, you know, they have some revenue, maybe 5 million in revenue, 2 to 5 million, something in that range. They have some customers, but they're trying to grow more. So anywhere in there, usually somewhere from pre-seed to Series A is what we call venture capital. I think kind of the best way to describe it is like if you think about Silicon Valley, like a lot of media around that. If you've heard like names Sand Hill Road, if you've heard, you know, you talk when you kind of talk about Uber and Google, et cetera, Peter Thiel, those are venture capital. That's what they are. Then there's kind of like this mid part of the landscape called growth equity. Growth equity investors are somewhere between what we call private equity. Think of like Gordon Gekko, KKR, and venture capital. Growth equity investor is usually invest around a 10 million ARR revenue mark. And usually writing checks somewhere between $25 to $100 million is kind of like the basic, obviously. That's a generalization. Funds are different, but it's a basic understanding. And they usually are somewhere between traditional buyout and venture capital. I think kind of what to think of it is VC is very growth focused. They're investing in companies that hopefully will become big and huge and super successful. VCs assume 90% of their companies are going to completely fail and 10% will be huge and basically will make up for those losses. Growth is somewhere in the middle where they are looking for a bigger return than traditional private equity. And ideally, I think they're looking for like 4 or 5x. They assume some of their companies are going to maybe not go to zero, but give them a 1x. And a sort of not great case for them is a 2 to 3x, which is more of like a private equity goal. Growth investors are kind of somewhere in the middle. And then there's private equity buyout investors, which are like those big guys that you hear about, KKR and Blackstone, et cetera. They write, I mean, the checks can be, there are so many different private equity firms. There's middle market, there's buyout, there's mega, whatever. They write various checks. They always take a majority of the company. That's also a big thing to think about. VC and growth, VC is usually always minority, which means they take a small percentage of the ownership. Growth kind of can be either. So minority basically means the investor has less than 50% of the company, basically what it means. Majority is 51% and above, which basically just means they control the company at the end of the day. So they make all the decisions. They can fire the CEO. They can fire whoever they want. They can take over. They can sell it. I mean, sometimes there's legal restrictions, but that's sort of the idea. Growth is kind of a mix. Private equity always takes a majority. There, that's why it's called buyout. So that's the general idea. Landscape. Realize that was a lot. But just to kind of give an idea. And so you as a founder, if you are looking to raise a round, there's obviously a million things to think about. Obviously, stage and check size is the first thing to think. So if your company is like has no revenue and it needs money to get to revenue, you're kind of in this pre-seed stage. You're looking for an early stage VC investor, which even within venture capital, different funds invest differently and will only do pre-seed or seed or Series A, or will only look at companies within a specific sort of range. So basically, before you're even looking at that, define yourself and see what that is. And, you know, first round is a great example. They're a huge, like, basically pre-seed seed investor, and they're called first round because they only are the first money in. That's their idea. So they never want to, if you've raised any other money, they're not your fit, but they're like a big deal in New York, or you know, Union Square Ventures is a similar idea there. If you are at a point where you're at 10 million of revenue, you are effectively, the idea is the company itself has scale. The business model is scalable and sort of proven. You have customers. You're probably growing at a certain point. You may or may not be profitable, but you're probably approaching profitability. The goal of a growth investor is to be able to infuse capital to a point, what they call an inflection point. And so your company is at, you know, maybe 10 to 20 million of revenue is usually where they're at, 10 to 25, maybe 30 million. The idea is if they infuse capital, that capital can be used to invest in a certain area of the business, whether it's key hires, whether it's entering a new market, whether it's sales, whatever it is, that's sort of what they call value creation lever. That money can then be somehow effectively, ideally, get the company to 100 million of revenue. So that's what growth investors are trying to do. They're trying to take you from like this point of like, okay, you have gone to a point from like you have no revenue and the likelihood of failure is 90% to, okay, you're a real company. You have customers, you have employees, you function, you are obviously proven to a point that you can succeed. The answer is, how far can you go? And growth investors are usually a lot more involved in terms of operations. I will say this, as a founder, it's really tough. Usually, you know, 80% of the time CEOs get fired at this point. Growth investors basically hire 80% of their CEOs. So, and the question about that is, are you a founder or are you a CEO? And that's complicated. Very complicated question. But that's what it is. And they're basically trying to get you to that. So are you at the 10 million ARR point? If you are, there are a variety of kind of big growth funds. Vista's a big one. Stripes, GA, et cetera, Insight. You probably hear about them too. The dig, and then sort of the other big difference in growth versus PE is growth investors tend not to use debt. So to not completely overwhelm you, venture capital and growth investors tend to really only fund those deals with equity or money. So actual pure money from their own fund. And define kind of a fund generally is a fund effectively just a group of money from other investors that they manage and then directly invest. They can be high net worth individuals. They can be pension funds. They can be basically any huge group of money that the fund just needs to, that basically needs to have some sort of return on it. And are usually, they give some sort of money to that fund. The fund manages it, invests it in companies, hoping to get a return on it. And that return then goes back to those LPs. So equity versus debt is, equity is that actual money that the fund owns, pretty much. And usually in a buyout situation or late stage private equity, that's why you've heard like probably LBO or leveraged buyout. Leveraged buyout includes debt, basically. And basically private equity firms go out to lenders to give them debt to use in combination with the equity from their fund to write a check to larger companies. There's a lot of reasons for this. Some of it is just because, you know, you are writing big checks, you don't have enough money and you want to supplement it. A lot of it is also around returns, but effectively, I don't need to go into the reasoning. You don't really know, but you'll tend to get a higher return with a combination of debt and equity. Especially for the type of companies that private equity late stage investors look at. They're, you know, growth and VC are looking at like hot growth companies that you've heard of. So, and typically, and are typically tech, consumer, scalable, like they're, you know, sexier pretty much versus private equity will buy anything that has cash flow, that has arbitrage, that's stable. They will buy what they call lifestyle businesses that are basically family-owned businesses that are old. They will buy distressed companies. They'll buy, you know, one of my friends in private equity recently had a roll-up of like automobile services dealers, anything and everything under the sun that effectively makes money. And so because these companies aren't growing, sometimes more distressed from like a risk perspective, it's better to have debt too. So that's what that is. So when you're kind of looking at who you are as a founder, ask yourself that and what category are you in? From a perspective also from, there are just so many funds in the world, in the country. There are new ones cropping up all the time. There's always, honestly, either ex-investors who want to create their own fund, you know, founders, operators, you know, Kim Kardashian, whatever, who want their own private equity fund because of just the attractive returns and the attractive monetary value of it. And the answer is just, if you are a founder looking for something, there are a million funds in the world. Try to find one, obviously, outside of these general categories. But when an investor is looking at a company, obviously, they have parameters on the type they invest. So, you know, obviously, size of check and type of company and stage. But they also look at industry. They, you know, funds can be generalist or super niche. If you have more of a specific, you know, sort of business model, like you're in biotech, you are anything that involves a lot of like CapEx, any, you know, lending, fintech sometimes, depending on what you do. I don't know, anything like that's maybe not an easier business model, certain types of healthcare services, there are less funds that will necessarily invest in you. And so I would say look for something that's more niche and specific if you have maybe a trickier, more specific business model like that. If you are just like an enterprise software company and literally everyone invests in you, I think it's more about finding maybe the right fit in terms of thesis. And also, I will say this too, investors are looking for two main things and they're trying to find a company, and it's obviously the company itself and potential for return, as well as what they call a portfolio balance. And so literally look at the company, that fund's portfolio, make sure you do your research on it. If they are invested in a competitor, they probably can't invest in you. If they're invested in five companies that do a similar thing, they're probably not going to invest in you either. If they invest in a completely different industry than you do, probably not going to be a fit. But if they're somewhere in the middle where they invest in companies that maybe are similar to you, but they don't have one specific to your problem that you're solving, it's probably a better fit in terms of that too. And I will say also, funds are so weird and niche and tricky, and they're completely different sizes. But do not be discouraged. People randomly turn you down, because this is just like a really small example. But for example, two of the funds that I've personally worked with, one have had a completely different policy on husband-wife founders, where I've worked with a fund that literally was like, that's the worst thing ever. If there's a husband-wife founder, absolutely no, like cut it in investment committee. And I've had another fund that's like, husband-wife founders are amazing. Like, that's the thing we love. And that's a great A+. So whatever you are, there probably is a fund out there for you. But and don't be discouraged if you get turned down for things that seem arbitrary. But I will say this, you know, approaching sort of these three areas are obviously different. Maybe I'll dig into that in a different episode, but this will just give you a general idea of what the landscape is and to find the right fund for you, if you're a founder. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll be continuing this series of just learning more about finance and the industry. If you have any questions, please DM us, Women's Blame Pod, or email us, womensblamepod1@gmail.com. Thanks.